بنين بتاع مثلا هو سبيريت هانجر، كل سنة كنت طيبين بمناسبة عيد الأنبا موسى، بكرة إن شاء الله تذكره، ربنا ينفعنا بالصلوات وشفاعته فيه. So today we are going to talk about the subject of comparisons, and this is something that we all do all the time. So the question today is, comparison is something that's considered as a virtue, or this is a vice? We're looking at this verse from Galatians chapter 6, he says, St. Paul says, that let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in others. This verse says that whenever we are looking at what we are doing, we should be looking at what we do, and if there is something that we do or are doing is good, this is something for us to rejoice, but not in others. Not because I am better than others, not because when I compare myself, I feel good about myself. So let us go deeper and dig into the subject of comparisons. Today, we are going to talk about how did God use comparisons, how did Satan use comparisons, how do we learn negative comparisons, and outcomes of negative comparisons, and comparisons as a virtue. So definitely this process, when we compare ourselves to others, can carry both. It can be a virtue that leads us to progress and advance, and also can lead us that we go backward and we learn something that's not intended for us to learn from this process. The first point is, how did God use comparisons? From the beginning, God made everything in comparison before the people. So when he talked to them about blessings and curse, he told them, you will have a time when people are going to stand over with each other on two mountains. One of them is called the Mount of Ebal, the other one is called the Mount of Gerizim. And people will stand on this mountain and say, if you follow the commandment of God, this is going to happen with you. And on the other side, you will find people are saying, if you don't follow the commandment of God, this is going to happen to you. In order for the people of Israel to witness this, they know what to choose and where they are heading. If you choose this route, this is going to happen to you. If you choose this route, this is what you are going to receive. So that from the beginning made it known to the people. He makes comparison in order for them to be able to choose. Sometimes actually we see things in contrast in a better way. When I see the difference, then I will be able to choose what is right. Also the Lord Christ, in many of his parables, he spoke to us about different kinds of things. When he spoke in the parable of the sower, he spoke about different kinds of grounds. And he said, this is the stony one, this is one that has the thorns, and this is one that's superficial. So all of these, in order for people to know the differences, and then we can see how they should change. Maybe I am the one that has a stony ground. My heart is like this kind of ground, then I have to change and I become with the heart that's a good ground that bear fruits. When we speak about the rich man and Lazarus, also this is a comparison. And hearing the rich man was a person who was enjoying the blessings of this life, and the other person was a miserable person, a sick person and a very poor, but how things look like at the end, also this was a kind of comparison. The parable of the wheat and the stars, the 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The Lord's son, even in this comparison, in this parable, there is a comparison between the younger one and the older one. Having said all of these kinds of comparisons, we never saw the Lord make comparison in person with the people whom he taught. Meaning, it never happened to compare St. Peter to St. Andrew, or St. Paul to St. Thomas. Never happened this way. So whenever we are talking to our children and let them know what are the options before them, we talk about the options and the outcome. But we should not do as the Lord himself taught us, never come into this point that we compare them to others. This is very destructive. When you tell your son or your daughter, be like this person, immediately the outcome, he or she will feel like I'm not good enough. And this is something that really encourage and motivate anyone. So this is how God used comparisons. In another occasion, we find here the Lord is making comparison in person, and this was a unique like style, and it happened when the Lord was at the house of Simon the Pharisee. This woman who came from his back, and everyone was looking at her because she was a sinful woman ruling the city. And everyone maybe like greatly and looked at her in a way that like, made her to feel that she's not good enough to be here. The Lord gave her her dignity by comparing her to the host of the banquet. Simon judged her and judged the Lord himself. But he told him, I came to your house, you did not do this, she did that. And this here, in this kind of comparison, the Lord gave this woman some kind of like honor, then letting everybody know that she loved much and that's why she deserves to be forgiven at the end of the meeting with her. Also, the Lord Jesus used comparison to illustrate the difference between like his children and those that we are going to be sent among. He spoke about us being sent as sheep among wolves. This is maybe might carry a message that makes the people feel frightened or scared, but it's not the case. Actually, the Lord meant for us to understand is that we should always be sheep. We are not going to change to become wolves. We should expect what's going to happen when we are persecuted. This should not carry any surprise. The Lord made it known for us from the beginning, this whom you are, and this is what our world is about, or what our world people are about, and that's why this should not be something that's troubling to us. We saw how God makes comparisons. Let us see how Satan makes comparisons. Satan makes comparisons in a way, like for example, to tempt Eve, he had to make her to compare herself to God. And feel like, okay, why I am denied to be like him? And the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Even if you are not to compare yourself to God, I want you to compare yourself with a status of obedience and then a status of doing things on your own. When you obey God, you are denied something. When you disobey him and do as you feel or you wish, then it will get you in another status. So this is a comparison, and he still plays with this scheme until now. Now when you obey God, this is what's happening to you. When you disobey God, actually you are going to enjoy things more. You are going to have all what you want. But God is denying you this. He doesn't want you to make you happy. This is how Satan brings the comparison in our minds. Still the same temptation. Satan also he makes comparisons in order to estimate God's work. When Moses came, in order to show Pharaoh that he came with a message from God, then he showed him a sign. The staff in his hand, when he threw it to the ground, it turned it to become like a snake. This was a miracle. In order for Satan to counteract this, he made the sorcerers of Pharaoh to do the same. So that's why Pharaoh, he understood that it's a big deal. It's a kind of sorcery. My people can do the same. So that's why it is a common theme. Whenever Satan wants to make people to doubt, he will throw before them something similar to what God can make. You are Christians, you have a book. I will make other religions with other prophets and other books. Okay, you are Orthodox and you take Bible in your church. I will make multiple churches, and everyone calls for something else, and I will make you confused, because at the end of the day, it's a church, it's a book. So this is how Satan makes comparisons, in order for the people to lose sight of what is right, what is truth. And then, because of this confusion, people can choose anything, because at the end of the day, they are all the same, so this is what he wants us to believe. Satan also draws comparison in order to deceive by giving an alternative. Like for example, the people of God have for themselves an altar in Jerusalem where they worship God. When the kingdom was divided between Israel and Judah, the alternative was another temple that for Baal. And this is in the Northern Kingdom in Samaria. and Yerubbaal, the founder of the Northern Kingdom, he said to them, this is the altar of your God. Even though he is asking people to worship Baal, it's an altar of God. It's another altar. Here or there in Jerusalem or in Samaria, it shouldn't be a big deal. He gives another God for people to worship. What God can he give to you? Money can give you the same. If you want to be healthy, if you want to be happy, if you want to prosper, money can give you everything that you think God can give. And people believe in this, they go after another God. That's money. Or whatever they think is going to satisfy their needs. You have Christ, let us call him a prophet. And then I give you 100 prophets in order for people to be confused. Okay, this is an alternative. You don't have to stick to one. I don't mind that you acknowledge Christ as a prophet, but there are many other prophets, and they are all the same. All the ways will lead you to God. And this is another way of deception. Even at the moment when Christ was to be crucified, he gave an alternative to the people to compare and to choose the other one, Barabbas. And Barabbas, from his name, Bar means son, Abbas means father. So even the other name that was given at the same time by Pontius Pilate, his name was the same name like the Lord Jesus, the son of the father, in order for the people to look and to choose for themselves whatever it is. This will always be the case. Give you something as an alternative, you draw the comparison, and then you can choose anything at the end of the day. If he is able to confuse people, then he did his work. How do you learn negative comparisons? Comparisons, most of the time, we do it in a negative way. But how do we come to do this? You find children like this, maybe in first, second grade, they are comparing themselves to each other, standing beside one another and saying, I am taller than you. There is something to do with comparison and then conclude something about it. Unfortunately, most of this kind of negative comparisons you learn as an outcome of wrong motivation and parental style. Be like this person. I want you to be as good and diligent as your cousin, as your older brother, as your sister. This kind of comparison that we think by which we motivate our children makes them always to live in this moment. That in order for me to be good, I have to be better than somebody else. It's not about a bar, it's not about a standard, it's not about a level. Even sometimes we find the child coming home with a good grade in school, getting 90. And then the father or the mother asks, okay, how is like your friend did? If the friend got 92, then your 90 is not good enough. Why you didn't get as him? What he has better than you? By doing this, he will learn that 90 is not actually what makes him good or bad. It is me getting a better grade than my cousin, than the person that my parents compare me with. So this is something, unfortunately, we are to assume it's motivating our children. And this is not the case. Another reason why you learn to draw negative comparisons with others is that we lack the usage of a scale of measuring ourselves against. I want to know if I am good or bad, if I am doing well or not. Then the easiest thing is I compare myself to another person. We have only one scale for us to measure ourselves against. This is the Lord Christ himself. Yes, we know it is very difficult for us to be like him, but this is the example that we should imitate. But again, we don't have like this kind of concept. Then the easiest thing that I compare myself to others and I feel good about myself, or I feel bad based on the person that I'm comparing myself with. What is the outcome of these negative comparisons? What will happen when we get so much engaged and so much occupied with all the time that I compare myself to others? Number one is jealousy and envy. It will never lead me except to this outcome. The example of Cain and Abel. Why did Cain kill Abel? Abel did not do him with any harm. He just offered a sacrifice to God. If God accepted Abel, if you want to be angry at whom? Be angry at God. It is God who rejected your sacrifice, not your brother. But my brother is a reminder of my shortcoming. Every time I look to him, he reminds me that I was not good enough. I was not accepted. So, he has to disappear in order for me to feel like, okay, the reason for my pain is not before my eyes anymore. This is what happens when we compare ourselves to others. You get a new car, and you are happy with it. You go into the church, your best friend or the person who sits next to you at the church got a better car. Then all of a sudden, my good car that I was happy when I acquired it yesterday, today it's no worse. Why? Because I look at the other car and I feel like mine is nothing in comparison. The best way actually is for you to disappear. And this is what will happen. Jealousy and envy will always be the outcome of this kind of comparisons. Joseph's brothers were upset mainly because he was treated differently. When you compare themselves to him, then he has to disappear. This is a reminder that our dad, he likes him more. Of course, Jacob contributed into this conflict, but again, this is what happens. Jealousy and envy. There is no way I can love my neighbor as I love myself if I am so much occupied with comparison. Because in order for me to feel good, I have to be superior, I have to be better. And then, how can I love for him what I love for myself? Will I feel happy that this person got a promotion and I did not get the same promotion? They got a new house and I did not have the same? This comparison will never allow me to go there if I am so much like thinking about who I am in terms of how my neighbor look like, what we have and what we have. The second consequence of this negative comparisons will be false boastings. You remember the Pharisee and the tax collector, when both of them entered into the temple, what happened is the Pharisee's prayer was about what? I am better than others. And then he felt good about himself, just standing, I am not like the rest of the people, including this man beside me. And here again, before God's eyes, what he said did not make him justified. We are not going to be justified because I look next to me in the church and I feel like I am dressed more decently and I am more respectable to the church than my neighbor. It's not going to get me anything before his eyes. Let me feel good about myself is not going to be the case before God's eyes. We are not going to be judged in cupboards. God is not going to draw us 2 by 2 and say this person is better than this, I will take this and refuse this person. But again, this kind of false boasting happened because the Pharisee looked beside himself, found the tax collector and said, I am better than this man. God, I thank you, but I am not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even unjust tax collector. Also, this kind of question can come because of my positions, my social status, my degree that I earned. And again, all of these will not avail me anything. Another outcome is this comparison, when I'm obsessed with it, it will kindle the spirit of competitiveness, competition. Sometimes we feel like being competitive is something good. It is good when you compete with a bar, with a standard. You want to beat yourself and get higher. But when you look at people around you and you start comparing yourselves and you compete with them, this is actually not Christian. You don't do this with other people. Otherwise, what will happen is I will not be able to help anyone to advance. Because if I help you to advance, you'll be ahead of me, and I cannot tolerate this. This is what happened with King Saul. King Saul came out from the war, and his army defeated the Philistines. Yes, David and Abraham initiated this kind of victory when he killed Goliath. But Saul forgot all about the victory when the women sang, and they said, and danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. Why? It's not about achievement anymore, it is about how I'm seen versus my neighbor, versus the child who was able to slay the giant. This is what will happen. this kind of competitiveness we feed sometimes into our children. It's all about being better than this person, than his cousin, her neighbor, the person next to you at the church. This is not something Christian, we should not be feeding them. This kind of spirit will lead to refraining from offering help to those whom we perceive as rivals. If you are, in a way in my mind, I think of you as a rival, then I cannot help you. If I help you, you will succeed. If you succeed, you get ahead of me. I cannot take this. And this sometimes makes some people think twice before they offer a hand to a newcomer. Say, am I going to offer this person what I learned over years? I was so much like troubled and I suffered and I got into this because of all of this pain. Am I going just to offer whatever I have that easy? This is not Christian. Saying something like this is not the spirit that we should be like lived with. But again, it comes from this kind of competitiveness. It's either or. Sometimes people actually compete while driving their cars just in the streets. You find somebody are coming closer and then he's going to be committed. You don't know him. I don't know this person at all. But I felt intrigued by just him being ahead of me. Let me prove to him that my car is better. Again, this kind of spirit is not going to lead us to be living as Christians. Another outcome is distraction from self-examination and focusing on other faults and shortcomings. We are very good in making other people mistakes. Why? We can know and detect this person is doing this and doing that, because this will make us feel good about ourselves. And I'm so much focused on others. Even the word of God, when I hear a sermon, sometimes it happens this way. I hear a sermon and then, this sermon, I hope this person heard it. I'm going to be talking about this person in particular. I wish he pays attention to what I'm going to say. What I did is, I took the word of God that should be a lamp to my feet, and I needed a lamp to examine others. And then this person, he should be doing this. I am not benefiting anything. I am distracted. Because simply, all the time, I'm thinking about other people's mistake and the fault and what they are doing and what they should be doing and they are not. Comparisons also in our growing this negative way will be used for us to justify ourselves. Like this common statement. Why did we do this? The answer is everybody does so. So what does it mean that everybody is doing this? And unfortunately, this is actually used by our own children. When we want to participate in something, we know that we do not approve. The way of justifying the act is, everybody is doing the same. I want to go and dance in the club. And everybody is doing the same. And we have to teach them that even if everybody is doing something wrong, this will not make the wrong right. At the time of Noah, everybody did something. Everyone was doing the same, but everybody was doing something that's not accepted by God. Another way also, that usually it's a way of defense. When someone is criticized that you are not doing what you are supposed to do, or you did something wrong, then usually we try to defend it by bringing comparison. Why do you correct me while others are doing the same and you are not saying anything? Well, this makes statement, make what you did right. If I did something wrong, and someone is coming to say to me, this is wrong, when I say, why are you not correcting others? You are not sure, because you are coming against me only. Again, by saying this, I forget that what I'm doing is wrong. I need correction, I'm focusing on how do you deal with other people, not what I am doing. The sixth negative consequence of this comparison is acquiring low self-esteem and being prepared for failure. Remember the 12 spies? Moses sent these 12 people to the promised land to come with a report. So the 12 spies came with a report different than Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb, they saw the blessings in the promised land and they said, even though the people there are giants that we have got on our side, we will be able to overcome them. The other 10 people looked at the giants and compared them
themselves. And then what the report said. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giant. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. The question actually that maybe Moses asked them, how did you know that we were, you looked like grasshoppers in their own eyes? Did you ask them? But this is how they assumed, because this is how we made it at the end to be. We compared ourselves to others and we are like grasshoppers. We are so little. By the way, this is one of the temptations, not a temptation, one of the negatives. But when we come to this country, sometimes we feel like we came from the third world country. But whatever is happening in Egypt is wrong, and whatever is happening here is good. And people embrace the community with all of whatever happening in it, good and bad. Because Egypt is always wrong. Even what happened in the church is not right, because the church is a reflection of Egypt. And therefore here, everyone who is good, we are like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And again, when we think this way, we are setting not only ourselves, but our children to fear. But we always feel little about ourselves, about their church and their culture, and the country we came from. We are not going to get something worth it out of this. Another negative consequence of comparisons is that I might be accepting a deceiving reference. What do I mean? Who is the reference for you to say this is good or bad? If the reference is another person that you compare yourself to, this is a deceiving reference. Like when your daughter comes to you and says, all of the girls, they wear the same. This statement, in order to justify to wear something inappropriate, this statement says what? My reference is my friend. But who said that the reference is your friend? The reference should be the Bible and the church. But again, if you accept this reference to yourself because you are doing this comparison, then you will be deceiving yourself because I'm using the wrong reference. Or to wrongly define what is good and evil. Everybody is doing the same, it is good. Everybody says this, then it's okay. All the churches in America are doing the same, and then this is fine. And again, we are defining good and bad should not be made based on a comparison with anyone. The only comparison we do is with the good reference, is the Bible and the church. Also, understand others' faults and struggles. We look at the people in their struggle and we will despise them, thinking that okay, they are not justified and they are not good enough. The eighth outcome is the sin of self-pity. Self-pity is a sin like a mother that has many children, and this mother is so much tempting. Self-pity is like drugs. People sometimes live on it. They are happy with it. And they want to live all of their like days feeling this. Self-pity comes when I compare myself to others, and I complain against God and others, and I am not thankful. Simply because why I was not granted the same like my neighbor. What is the difference between him and me? I got the same degree from the same school and we came here at the same year. Look where he is, where I am. Every one of us is unique. Every one of us has his own story. And his story is so much unique from his or her salvation. But when we go like this, and I feel bad because I'm not like this person, then what will happen is, who made me this way? God. And then God is responsible, but not a loving father. God is not a poor father. I cannot in a way be thankful because simply what I have is not enough. Self-pity also will give birth to negativity and self-centeredness. Everything is bad, everything is not good. Everything that as far as related to me or my community is not good enough. Drowning in excuses. I did this because this I was created. Because I was made like that. Because my circumstances. I don't have a chance to do better because of the person I married. He or she. Seeking other sympathy at all costs. This is what I find pleasure at. This is my comfort. That I do people in order for me to feel like I'm miserable and it's okay. It's good. It is with the theme.
because I pity myself. I like this boy actually, he has this look on his face that's very expressive.
I will avoid self-examination and confession because it's not what it's about feeling good, and feeling good is, I'm Muslim, I have bad luck in my life. Sometimes people like keep talking all the time about how they were pushed into this life, how things were imposed on them. Then I have no time to examine my fellow people's responsibility or ownership. This is one of the worst children of self-pity, that I blame others for anything that's happening to them. It is because of he or she or him or they or anybody. This will make a person to be paralyzed. You cannot move beyond this simply because I am not responsible. Other people give it to me. Tendency to sadness and surrender to the spirit of sorrow. Sometimes people find pleasure in the spirit of sorrow. This is the mode I want to surround myself with, and I like when I talk about my misery, and people around me, they come to my comfort. This will hinder also forgiveness and reconciliation. I was harmed beyond remedy. Like when this is something I noticed. When the kids go to college, what becomes is everybody comes with a story how he was abused when a child. Everybody's abused, verbally, physically, sexually, anything. Everybody's abused. Why? I'm abused when it just defies all of my choices. And this is a very common thing, sadly. Among college people, I don't know why. They get in college to learn how to better themselves, how to think they were abused, and another bad thing is to how to learn how to drink. I think that's a very, very common temptation in the college years. Moving, last point is comparisons as a virtue. When comparison can be something that's good. As at the beginning we said, comparison is yes, can be a vice, and also can be a virtue. Comparison is a virtue when we measure ourselves against the commandment, the standard, and the image of God. What is called before us, how we should live as Christians, Christ-like. St. Paul actually says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, in order for us to find comfort, in order for us to find an example to imitate, this is what we are called to live by. This is the kind of pain and suffering he endured while not doing anything to deserve this. But any of us who is suffering for any reason, if you think it's unfair, look at the author of your faith. Why you want, in a way, to be granted a status better than your teacher? The best thing we can have as disciples is to be like him, like the teacher. So if you are treated unfairly, things are not going well in your life because something out of your hand, this is something actually you feel I'm fellowship with the author of my faith. So this is a good way to make comparison. Comparison also can be a virtue when I compare my current status with a better one from the past. Like today versus maybe 5 years ago, or when I started to know Christ, my first love, when I went so much to the church, I liked being in the church, attending this person, attending Tathbeha, when I started serving for the first time. This is something actually, maybe from time to time, we bring it to our own memory to see what I was doing and what I am doing now. The lost son, he was restored partly because of the comparison he drew between his current status and how he lived in his father's house. How many of my father's hired servants have driven up and to spare and I perish with hunger? When he made this comparison, he started to realize there is something wrong. How he should have fixed it, I go back and I ask for forgiveness. This is a good comparison. Compare yourself to the time when you were a better status spiritually. Also, I can compare myself to those who are not giving what I was granted. Why always a comparison has to be with someone who got something better? A better car, a better house, a better whatever. Why I'm not comparing myself to those who were not granted even half or one piece of my blessings? Then what should happen? When I compare myself to those people who are less fortunate, I definitely will be able to over thanksgiving. Thank God for what I have. I will have sense of responsibility. How can I help and aid those people? And also, I will excuse others' faults. When you see someone doing something wrong, There is another way to think about it, is how this person was raised, where he came from. Maybe if you were raised in the same atmosphere, in the same family, you do something worse. So this is in a way will make me to talk to others, understanding maybe this is how they learn it, this is how the circumstances when they were children. Maybe if I was raised in the same atmosphere, I would be doing something even worse. Also, I conclude, comparison is a virtue. When I compare myself to an example or a role model, you know who is this person, right? This is person. And Habib Gerges, Yes, Habib Gerges. Habib Gerges, he was a deacon, and this man started studying in the clerical school in Egypt. At that time, the clerical school in Egypt was a school that taught everything, including theology. When he was in second year, when he was supposed to receive theological teaching, there was no teacher for theology in the clerical school. Imagine, كلية الثلاثية ما كانش مدرس له، ما فيش حد بيدرس له theology. You know what he did? He started studying on his own and teaching the other students. And of course, there's nobody, so they entrusted him to be a teacher while he was a student. When he graduated from the school, he was hired to be a teacher in the clinical school. And he started from there writing books, teaching others, improving education in Egypt theologically, and started the movement of Sunday school in Egypt. Actually, one of the best things that was said about Habib Gerges is what Shunda said, that there was a time when there was darkness. It's exactly at the beginning of creation, when there was darkness and God said, let it be light. And Shunda said, when God said, let it be light, it came Habib Gerges. He was the light. Why did this man make this difference? Simply because he did not take himself, he did not feel miserable, he did not think there is no way, what can we do? He did not criticize the church for lacking the basics at that time. He was a light, he worked at something. He set an image, this is what the church needs to be, and this man, while he was a deacon, from his school that he taught him, came with Shmood and came most of the bishops that we enjoyed the leadership of the church. It's a good way to compare yourself with an image. What I want my church to be at. We all come to the church every week. We all go to our homes, of course, and we live there. There are two ways to get something good out of whatever we see that's not good. Either see an image and want to improve to be like this, or another way is that I feel, oh, this is a miserable place. I don't like it. It has all of these negatives, and then I go back home feeling bad about my children, about my church, about my home, about my husband, about my wife, etc., etc. So here, an example of a person who knew what he wants to reach, and he used comparison as a virtue with him and his church to grow and prosper. So we spoke today about comparison. Comparison is something that's natural for us, but we do it all the time. Let us make sure that comparison will do it in a good way, in the right way, to be for us a reason for us to grow and advance in our relationship with God and with others, and glory be to God forever and ever.